where we'll be taking our text tonight. But before I get started, I just want to say thank you to the church. I know that Brother Billy has mentioned my wife several times since December, since we found out that she was diagnosed with cancer, and she had her surgery on February the 16th. The surgeon said everything went just as well as it possibly could. Matter of fact, I felt really good about it. Before they took her back, the surgeon asked if we could have prayer, and he led in prayer. So I was thankful for that, thankful that he was a good Christian man and willing to seek God's guidance before the surgery. But we've got good news. There's nothing in the margins and negative in the lymph nodes, so we're thankful for that. She still has a few more tests and to go through just yet, so we'll ask that you continue to remember her in your prayers. But, you know, God has certainly been good and has overwatched this entire situation. But we do thank you for your prayers, because I'm a firm believer God answers prayers. God is faithful to answer prayers, and I'm glad that He is. Before I read in Daniel chapter number 3, I'm probably going to read from a couple of other places. You don't have to turn. I'm probably just going to reference those here in just a little bit. But I prayed when Brother Billy messaged me and asked me if I'd be able to be here with you tonight and preach. And I said I could, and I'm thankful that, again, that God has given me the opportunity to be here with you. But begin to pray and just ask the Lord. I said, Lord, just give me something to encourage the church. Give me something to encourage your people. And the reason why I pray for that is because, you know, this is not a message of gloom and doom, but I'm telling you, in the days and times in which we live, it seems like there's a lot of bad news. Seems like we are truly living in troublesome times. I mean, everywhere we look and everywhere we go, it seems like sin just prevails. Not only in our community, not only in our state, not only in our nation, but it's global. You know, sin is just seems like an evil perverseness, just seems like it's prevailing. And I'm telling you, as the people of God living in the days and the times in which we live, we need encouragement. I'm going to ask you a question tonight, and I already know the answer, because especially of the setting and where we're at. But I'm going to ask you a question. What is this? The Word of God. The holy, infallible Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
A library of 66 books that the Bible tells us is inspired by God Himself, right? Because the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, the Bible says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, I want to say today, when we say that this is the Word of God, it means it's all truth. The Bible tells us that this is good for reproof. It's good for doctrine. It's good for teaching. The Bible also tells us in Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's pretty powerful right there. That the Bible tells us that it's all inspired by God Himself, that God inspired each and every word that is contained within these 66 books that make up and comprise the Word of God, that we utilize in our Christian lives as our rule of faith and practice, right? Amen. I mean, if we take the Word of God, if we say that this is the Word of God, and the Word of God says that all Scripture, that means all of it, right? Not just a portion of it, not just a little bit of it, not just a little bit here nor there, but we're saying that all Scripture, that every word that is contained from Genesis to Revelation, that all of this is the Word of God. And if we're going to say, yes, Brother Bruce, this is the Word of God, we believe that this is the Word of God, we believe that it's all truth, we believe that it contains all truth, we believe that it's good for teaching doctrines, we believe that it's good for reproof, we believe that it's good for rebuke, we believe that it's good for teaching, we believe that it's good for us to look at, to read, and to make applicable to our lives. Would you agree with that? I think so.
Amen.
I think so. You know, this nation was founded upon the Word of God. Our nation's fathers would make sure that they founded our laws and the way that we lived and conducted ourselves and our lives, our morals and our values to the Word of God. But we have slowly and surely as a nation gotten away from that. We have basically today said that the Word of God is not the Word of God because we've changed it. We said we can't understand it, so we're going to make it easier. And man has retranslated the Word of God in so many different translations that it's become confusing. Now listen to me, God is not the author of confusion. Satan is. It's Satan's way of making sure that people stay confused and that they don't hear the truth. Because why? Because the Word of God is quick and it's powerful. It cuts to the very core of our hearts. And that's what we need today in the society in which we live, because our hearts are growing colder and colder and colder. They're waxing colder each and every day. It seems like we're straying farther and farther and farther away from the Word of God. And we as the people of God, in the days and times in which we live, listen to me, we need some encouragement today to make sure that we're standing firm in the Word of God. To make sure that we're living as God wants us to live, and make sure that we're doing as God wants us to do, and make sure that everything that we do and everything that we say is pleasing in the sight of God and not the sight of man. And that's what we're going to be looking at. Daniel chapter number 3 tonight. Very, very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm going to start at verse number 10. I'm going to read down through and include verse number 18. Daniel chapter 3. Verses 10 through 18, if you found your places there, if you're willing and able to tonight, if you would please stand with me as we read in reverence the Word of God together. The Bible says this, starting at verse number 10, "Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Let's pray again tonight. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight as we humbly bow before your throne of grace, Lord, we're thankful for the day that you've given to us today. And Father, Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity, Lord, to come into your house tonight to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, Lord, tonight we pray for Brother Billy. He's away, and we pray that you'll just be with them and give them your watch, care, and your protection. And Father, I pray for these services here tonight. Lord, I don't know what needs might be here and present tonight, but Lord, I know that we have come here for the sole purpose to worship You. Father, Lord, we have come here for the sole purpose to hear Your Word. So, Father, Lord, I pray that You'll just hide me behind the cross tonight. Lord, I pray that You'll help me preach Your Word. Father, Lord, I pray that You'll just touch these stammering lips of clay. Lord, I pray that we'll take Your Word tonight. Lord, I pray that we'll find encouragement in Your Word through these troublesome times in which we live, that we'll be willing to stand firm, stand tall in the doctrines and the truths of Your Word. So, Father, Lord, again, we just ask that You just bless these services here tonight. Lord, just have Your will and Your way in all things that are said and done. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. Thank you for standing tonight as we read and reverence the Word of God together. Now, I'm going to take tonight just a very brief few minutes, if you will. I know that we're probably, again, we're all familiar with this passage of Scripture. It's a passage of Scripture that we've heard preached from probably numerous times in our lives or that we've studied in our Sunday school classes. But I think it'd be important tonight to take just a few minutes tonight just to kind of set the scene of what is taking place in our text for someone who may be here tonight that doesn't really know or is not really familiar with this passage. But the entirety of chapter 3, all of it goes together. Now, we're not going to read and examine all 30 verses tonight. I wanted to kind of just stay between verses 10 and 18 as much as I can tonight for the three thoughts that I want to share with you. But in a very brief summary tonight, before I get into the main three thoughts, I want us to understand the type of king that we're looking at. We're talking about King Nebuchadnezzar. We're talking about a man who was full of some self-pride. We're talking about a man who was very powerful. We're talking about a long-reigning king. We're talking about a king who would go out into other provinces or other parts of the land and he would siege them and he would take them under his power. We're talking about a man who even went into Jerusalem. And we know what he did there. He destroyed the city. He destroyed the temple. This man was so full of his own pride and his own arrogance that he even went into the temple of God. And he took out some of the furniture and he brought them into his own temples for his own gods. Folks, that's pretty arrogant. He established his kingdom, and it was a beautiful kingdom. I mean, if you go and you read and you study the Word of God, you'll find that there were beautiful gardens and rivers that flow throughout his empire, throughout his kingdom. You'll find that the palace was full of beauty and full of riches, and he was able to look back and kind of go, look at what I've done. Look at what I have established, and look at what I have built, and look at what has taken place by my hands. I mean, he's so arrogant that he even says there in verse number 15, and I'm not going to read that whole verse, but he says, basically when he says to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when you hear all this music, if you're ready, I'm going to give you a second chance. I want you to bow down and I want you to worship. And then he says at the latter part of verse number 15, he says, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You see, I want us to understand tonight, he's feeling pretty powerful. He's feeling pretty arrogant. He's looking at what I've built, at what I've established, at what I've done. And I have to look at that and I have to think of our own nation. You know, we're a pretty great nation. We were a little bit stronger a few years ago than we are now. I mean, everybody looked at the United States of America and they said, that's where I want to be. That's the land of freedom. That's the land of liberty. That's the land of opportunity. That's the place that I want to go. They're powerful. They're rich. They're strong. And I want to be there. And you know why? Because we adhere to the Word of God. We founded our laws on the Word of God. We founded our morals on the Word of God. We founded our ethics on the Word of God. We reverenced God. We put God in our currency. We put God in our pledge. We prayed. We prayed in our schools. We prayed in our workplaces. And we were not ashamed of God. But over time, more people infiltrated into the borders of the United States of America and they began to bring in their own gods. They wanted to worship their own way. They wanted to have their own religion. They wanted to have their own belief system. They brought in other gods.
Folks, that's no different than what King Nebuchadnezzar is doing. He's bringing in his own gods. He's looking at what I've built, what I've done, and what I've established, and I'm going to bring in my God. And the Bible even says there that when he goes and he erects this statue, it's some 90 feet tall to some 9 feet wide, according to the first verse. It's pretty large. And I would say that when you would see this golden image, this statue that was some 90 feet tall and some 9 feet wide, no matter where you was in the kingdom, it probably stood out. And the king said, this is what I'm going to do. The king said, I'm going to make a decree. I'm going to make a law. I'm going to have this image erected. I'm going to have it built. And then I'm going to make a law that when all the music is played from all of these different instruments, that the people in my kingdom and my empire, they're going to bow down and they're going to worship this image that I've built up. So he sends out his high-ranking officials to go out into all the areas of the kingdom and to tell all the people of this decree that the king says, either you're going to bow or you're going to burn, basically. That's the choice that they had. Either they're going to bow before the golden image, or the king says, I'm going to have you cast into the fiery furnace, which is going to be heated 7 times hotter than it's ever been heated before. But notice this. They had a choice. Not much of a choice, seems like, but they had a choice. Either they bowed down to what the king said is right and what is good in his eyes, or they refused to bow and do what is pleasing in the sight of God. Because what was the very first commandment God gave to his people? You got your 10 commandments up here? There it is. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now look at number 2. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Now I don't know about you, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these are some Jewish boys that knew God's law, they knew God's word, and they knew that God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And even though this was pleasing in the sight of man and in the sight of this king, these fellows knew it was wrong. Now what does that mean to us today? That means to you and I today, the society in which we live, I'm telling you, sin that was considered sin 20 to 30 years ago is not considered sin anymore. Because man said, it's okay. It's okay. Man says, listen, you can kill an unborn child and just call it abortion and call it a choice. Thou shalt not kill. Man has said, listen, you can marry of the same sex, and homosexuality is okay, and transgenderism is okay, and you know what they've even said? Don't you say anything bad about it. We got people in this world today can't even decide which bathroom to go through. That's confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. But God said, that's an abomination in my sight. And all we've done is we've made our own gods and we've made our own laws and we said, this is what man says is okay. And you know what's happened over time? Over time, it's kind of wore us down. It's kind of vexed our souls. It's kind of like Lot. When Lot looked at the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Bible says there in 1 Peter that it vexed his righteous soul, that it wore him down day after day after day. And it's done the same thing to you and I as the people of God. Spoke to a good, godly Christian woman one time. I preached a message, and she came up to me after the message, and she said, Brother Bruce, you know, I work in the school systems, and I see all these kids, and it's cool that girls have girlfriends just like they got boyfriends. And she goes, I see it so much that now when I see a couple of girls walking down the hallway or embracing, I don't even think anything of it anymore. And that's the way our society, that's the way Satan has worked in our society. Satan wants us to think, okay, even though the Word of God says it's wrong, man says it's okay, and it's wearing us down. But what I find very interesting here is here's three young men that were familiar with God's law, God's Word. And they were willing to make sure that they stood tall in this bowed out crowd. And that's the title of the message tonight. Standing tall in a bowed out crowd. I got three things that I want to share with you tonight as we go through the Word of God. First of all, look at verses number 10 and 11. Know what is right. That's the first thing. The Bible says there in verse number 10, Thou, O King, hast made a decree. There's His law. That every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Just because the king has taken action, and just because the king has said, listen, it's okay. They were used to serving pagan gods. They were used to having many gods and they were used to worshiping images. And the king says, this is what I'm going to say is okay. It's my kingdom, it's my land, it's my laws. And this is what I want you to do. Now I'm going to take you right back. If you want to turn there, you can. But I'm going to go back to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 for just a minute. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 13 says, But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, I don't know about you, but I can see that taking place. Not only back in Daniel chapter number 3, I can see that taking place in 2018. But it goes on, Paul writes and he tells Timothy, he says, But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He says, all, Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, which is teachings, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I don't know about you, but we find here in 2 Timothy that when Paul writes to Timothy here, he gives Timothy these words of wisdom. He's saying, listen, Timothy, this is what's going to happen. It's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse. But Timothy, what you need to do is you need to continue. Continue to stand firm in the Word of God. Continue to stand firm in the things that you've been taught as a child from your mother and your grandmother. You stand firm in those things. You do what is right. You adhere to the Word of God. You teach the Word of God. Why, Timothy? Because it's good. It's good for doctrine. It's good for reproof. It's good for correction. It's good for instruction. In all the ways that we live our lives and conduct our lives. Amen. Amen. Folks, we need to know what is right. Again, just because the world says something's all right, if it's contrary to the Word of God, then it's not all right. It's not all right. I know we got a lot of preachers today standing behind a lot of pulpits and they're preaching that health, wealth, and prosperity. And I've probably shared that with you before because it's just true. There's so many preachers today that want to stand back and tell you 15 different ways to get to heaven. 30 different ways of salvation. They want to tell you all kinds of different things except the truth. The truth is, there is but one way. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. We got preachers today that are not willing to preach on sin. We got preachers today that are not willing to preach on conviction. We got preachers today not willing to preach on a place called hell. I'm thankful that you got a pastor that does. I'm thankful for preachers like Brother Billy who are willing to stand behind the Word of God and to preach the truths of the Word of God. Amen. Folks, we need to know what is right. Secondly, we need to be willing to make our stand. Look at verses 14 through 16 back in Daniel chapter number 3. Verses 14, 15, and 16, making your stand. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, he asked them a question. He says, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. There's the question mark. Now basically what he's going to do, he's going to give these fellows a second chance. He says, now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, the king says, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Listen to me. You know what he's saying? He's saying either you bow or you burn. If you're going to be willing to make your stand, then who is the God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? Who's the God that's going to deliver you out of the decree that I've made, the laws that I've made, the things that I said is right? Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who is that God? And folks, I'm going to ask you today, who is that God? Is he the same God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego served? Amen. Is he the same God that Peter, Andrew, James, and John followed after? Amen. Is he the same God that Paul went and preached about from region to region, person to person?
Amen.
Amen. He's the same God. The Bible says that he is God and he changes not. So who is that God? Listen to me, if he's able to deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if he's able to do all the things that we read within the Word of God, if we say that this is truth, if we say we believe that this is the Word of God, it contains all truth, then listen to me today. I'm telling you right now, in Daniel chapter number 3, this is a true account. There's some scholars that'll go and say, well, the book of Daniel is just some kind of story. Daniel wasn't real. But Daniel was made to be a hero. Listen, Daniel's not the hero here.
That's right. That's good preaching.
God is the hero, amen. God's the one who's going to deliver. And if the Bible says that all Scripture is inspiration by the Word of God, and the Bible says that all Scripture is truth, then listen to me. Daniel chapter number 3, right here, King Nebuchadnezzar's a real man. Yes, he is. Babylon's a real empire. Yes, he is. I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are real people. Yes, I do. I believe this was a real image. I believe this was a real decree. And I believe this was a real choice. And these fellas said, King, we're going to make our stand. We don't need to think about it. We don't need a second choice. We don't need a third choice. Because listen to what they say. Look at verse number 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now listen, I want you to understand before I read there. I want you to understand, back in verse number 13, the king's mad. Look at verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury. Does that mean he was a little bit mad? I believe he was a whole lot mad. The Bible says, and in his rage and in his fury, he commanded, he said, you go get them fellas. You go get them three that are not willing to bow down at the sound of the music when I said that they should. You go get them and you bring them to me. You make them stand in front of me and I'm going to give them the opportunity to either bow down and to worship or I'm going to cast them into the fiery furnace. And this is what they said. Verse number 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You know what they're saying? King, it don't matter how many times you offer. King, it don't matter how many laws and decrees you have. King, it doesn't matter how hot you make that furnace. We're not careful to answer you in this matter. We're not going to put any other gods before us. We're not going to serve your God. We're not going to listen to your decree because we know what the Word of God says. We know what the laws of God says. The laws of God says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. So, King, we're not going to do that. We're not going to bow and we're not going to worship. We're not going to serve your image because we're going to do what is right in the sight of God. Amen. That's what we need to do as a people of God today. We're living in a society where society says, it's okay, it's okay, it's not sin, it's okay. We need to look at it and say, no. No! That's not what God says. That's not what His Word says. His Word says, thou shalt not. Not can, not may I, not if I want to. But the Word of God says, thou shalt not. So that's what I'm going to do. Because I serve a God who is able to deliver me. I serve a God who will stand right there with me. I'm going to say this because you know what they were doing? They were facing their fiery furnace. This is really a whole other message for a whole other day, but I'm going to go there while I'm here. They were facing the fiery furnace. They were looking at it. And the king says, see it, feel it, now bow or you burn. And folks, I'm going to tell you today, if a lot of Christians had that choice, I wonder what choice they'd really make. Now, I hope it never comes in our lifetime. I really do. I hope it never comes in our lifetime that we have to make a decision. Am I going to have to face the fiery furnace just for going to the house of God? Am I going to have to face some kind of persecution just for reading my Bible? Am I going to have to face the firing squad for saying how much I love Jesus? It could get to that point. Right. And if it did, where would we be? What would we do? Would we bow just like everybody else in that kingdom did? Or would we stand and say, I'm not going to? You see, I had to picture this in my mind's eye, and I had to think that that golden image was there, and I had to think about all these people in this kingdom, this empire, and they're going about their daily business and they're doing their thing, and all of a sudden all the music starts up, and the flute and the sax button, the psaltery and the dulcimer, and all that music starts up. You know what they did? Oh, I've got to bow. And I believe they got on their face and they looked down, and as they looked up, they saw these three men standing. You know what they probably thought? Those fools. Those fools. Don't they know? Haven't they heard? I mean, don't they know what the king has said? Don't they know the laws and the decree? Don't they know if they don't bow and they don't worship that they're going to be burned, they're going to cast into the fiery furnace? Those fools! And that's kind of what the world says about Christians today. Those fools. Why do they go to church every Sunday and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night? Those fools. Why do they read that old Bible? Those fools, why do they put their money in the offering plate? Why do they go out and witness? And why do they go out and visit? And why do they even bow down and pray? Because we believe this to be the Word of God. We believe it to be truth.
Amen.
And we believe to do what is right in the sight of God. And I have to think that a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood as everybody else bowed down. I had to think in my own mind, they probably thinking, what a shame. They look around and all these people and they're bowed down and they're probably thinking, what a shame. Why are not they willing to stand? Why are they not willing to put their faith and their trust in the Almighty God of heaven? Why are they not wanting to do what is pleasing in the sight of God instead of what is pleasing in the sight of this old king? Why are they not wanting to stand instead of bow down? But these three men stood, and because they were willing to stand, listen to me, third point tonight, and I'm going to close. Because they were willing to stand, and because they were willing to do what is right, look at verses 23 and verses 23, 24, and 25. I know we didn't read those, but I want to look at these right now. Verses 23, 24, and 25, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was a stone, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You know what this king saw? He saw God in these men. Just like the world ought to be able to see Lord Jesus Christ in us. When we're willing to stand and we're not willing to bow down, when we're willing to do what is right, listen to me, God is glorified through our lives. God was glorified through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they were not willing to bow, because they were willing to stand tall, they were willing to stand firm, and because they were willing to stand, God got the glory. Now what about you in your life tonight? Is God getting the glory out of your life? Have you been willing to stand? You see, I don't know what you've been facing. I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know your trials. I don't know your tribulations. Maybe somebody here tonight, you're saying, "Preacher, I'm standing right there at the furnace doors. And I've got some decisions to make." Maybe God's speaking to your heart tonight. Child of God, tomorrow you may face your furnace. Next week, you might face your furnace. Next month, you might face your furnace. At some point, listen, at some point we all face a furnace in our lives. But I pray that this message will resonate through your heart. And God will say to you, "Are you going to stand? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to have your faith in me? Because if you will, I'll deliver you. And if we'll do that, God will get the glory in our life." Let's have a song of invitation tonight.
154.
Let's all stand as we prepare to sing.